Getting to zero. Getting to zero is a campaign to get to zero new HIV infections, zero deaths from AIDS-related illness, and zero stigma by the year 2020. I attended a short play on getting to zero this week. And in it, the actor, who is an African-American man who's an activist, said he was called to the hospital to talk to a 27-year-old male who was dying from AIDS. And he said to the audience, "No one dies from AIDS anymore. The young man died from stigma. Stigma killed him." He said he was too humiliated and embarrassed by how society would view him to take his meds, to accept that he had HIV and risked being ostracized. So he quietly kept his secret until he died, a 27-year-old victim of social stigma. In the US and around the world, we have many groups who are living under stigma that has become a social norm that we need to change and eradicate because it's a barrier to people getting what they need. People with mental illness, those that struggle with addiction, sex offenses, homelessness, et cetera, to live with a mark of disgrace associated with a particular circumstance or a quality or a person is a horrible way to live in the world, amen? In this gospel story today, we have a story of two people who deal with social stigma and its devastating effects. Jesus and a person with leprosy that society refers to as a leper. A leper was one who lived under the highest level of social stigma during Jesus' time. In the first reading, we hear of how humiliating it is to live as a leper. This wasn't a disease that one could keep quiet about until they got better. The law required that they be outed publicly, whether they had a scab or a pustule or a blotch on their skin. Until it could be verified that you were not contagious or diseased, you were to go to the priest and have the priest check your head for sores. Now, I am so glad that we priests don't have this diagnostic responsibility anymore. But if the priest found a head sore, they were mandated to label you a leper and unclean. The diagnosis was deemed to change your life. You went from an insider to an outsider, no longer worthy of the same humane treatment that everyone else was getting. And once you got your social label, life changed dramatically for you. You were ripped from your family, ripped from your friends, sent to live outside the town where all the other people with leprosy were. People didn't even have sympathy for you. They were mostly scared of you that you would make them sick, and that thought that maybe you did something to deserve it. And if you were a male, you were to muffle your beard, tear your clothes, keep your head bare, so that you could be easily identifiable. And if you ate, it was because of somebody's kindness towards you, somebody's grace. You couldn't get a job. You couldn't work the land. Nothing. You were rendered destitute. It was the lowest status that somebody could have. And if you did happen to come back into town like this man did in this gospel, and you encountered another human being, you were to shout loud, "Unclean, unclean." As long as those sores were in you or on your head, you were to declare yourself unclean and subject yourself to public humiliation and relegate yourself to a life of inequity. But Jesus and this leper in the gospel today gives us a lesson in being courageous enough to defy social norms that take life from people and to give it back to them again. Amen? So let's look at the leper. Now, I don't know what it was about this leper on this particular day where he decided and believed that his life mattered, but he clearly believed it. It wasn't that he didn't believe that other lives didn't matter. He understood that the lives of widows mattered. He understood that the lives of people healed from demons and blindness, that their lives mattered. But he was taking inventory of his own life, the plight of his own circumstance, the daily indignities and dehumanization that society heaped upon people like him. He understood what society had prescribed and the ways in which they had stigmatized him. But he also understood that he hadn't given leprosy to himself. And yet, here he was. Reminds me of an old Negro spiritual that the enslaved Africans used to sing when they came to the American soils and found themselves under the cruelty of slavery. They would turn to their faith and they sang this song, and the words simply said, "Lord, how come me here? There ain't no freedom here, Lord. They treat me so mean here, Lord. They sold my children away. I wish I was never born. Lord, how come me here?" Have you ever turned to your faith, seeking understanding, and simply wondered why? I can imagine that our immigrant families in this country that are being torn apart because of our heightened deportation policies are wondering why. Lord, how come me here? Even Jesus, when he was on the cross, asked God, why? Why hast thou forsaken me? Knowing that God does not forsake us. But he asked the question, why? Because sometimes when life gets hard, all we can say is why. It's not unusual to experience oppression and to think that it says something about you. And so in this story, thank God the why is turned into an if. If I hold on, my change is gonna come. If I trust the Lord, God will see me through. If I hold on through the darkness, morning will come. So this leper turns his why into an if. What if I don't cross the street? What if I don't cry unclean, unclean? What if I don't conform to the way that society is viewing me? What if I cast my cares upon Jesus? And that is exactly what he does. He walks right up to Jesus and bows down with an if. If you wish, you can make me clean. He knew that Jesus would not reject him, that he could approach Jesus. He wasn't afraid. I buried a woman yesterday who all her life was afraid of God. Her family told me until the very end of her illness, when she realized that she didn't need to be afraid anymore, she simply turned to her daughter and she said, "I'm not afraid to die. I know now that God's got me." And so perhaps sometimes this leper wondered if God had him, if God wanted him clean, if God wanted him healed, restored, reconnected, and attended to, like we sometimes wonder. The experience of oppression can make you wonder if you deserve anything else and if this is as good as it gets. But the scripture tells us that Jesus was moved with compassion. That's the God we know. Stretches out his hand and touches him. Sometimes God will ask us to stretch, to defy social norms. So now Jesus is defying the social norm, and he says to the leper, "I do will it. Be made clean." And the leprosy left him at once. Sometimes I submit to you that we have to break social norms organizational norms, political norms that are oppressive in order to restore life to the broken. Amen? Amen. Now Jesus is unclean, and the leper is clean. Jesus has switched places with him. Jesus warns him sternly to keep this miracle to himself. Go to the priest and do what is officially prescribed by Moses. But this leper is too excited to keep his silence. He has been restored to his community. He has been restored to his capacity. He has been restored to his family. And it is impossible to stay quiet. So he publicizes the whole matter. He tells everything. Now, Jesus is outed, and he can't go to any town publicly, but remains outside in deserted places, the same kind of places that the leper had to be confined to. So the leper is now the insider, and Jesus is the outsider. In Rochester, we have some social norms that African-American children and families are living under that must be challenged. 50% of African-American children and their families are living in poverty in this community. The unemployment rate is 18% for African-American families locally, while it is 3 times the national average for other ethnic groups. The average salary for African-American families, $27,000. While the average salary for white families, $59,000. For far too long, we as a society have taken a look at these statistics and these realities and have been willing to simply cross over to the other side of the street when the statistics are crying out, inequity, inequity. Spark has decided to engage. Our anti-racism team, inspired by the Race Convoy trip in 2017, we first proposed to the city that we create a Black Civil Rights Park, allowing the Black community to tell its story of freedom struggle on this soil. And the city accepted the proposal, and we're working actively with them to make this a reality in the 14605 community at Baden Park. We're also working with the 14605 African American community to create their own Black Community Investment Fund to fund the park in partnership with the city, with the hope of getting to zero on the disparities that they face. On next Saturday at 9 a.m., we invite you to join us for a conversation about this at the film festival. We will revisit the movie Selma, its protests, its activism, its boycotts, led by Dr. King, that got us to zero in this country, got us to zero with segregated busing, got us to zero with segregated schools, got us to zero with segregated lunch counters. And we will hear from those who went on the Race Convoy and brainstorm more about these two initiatives. Dr. King and those in the civil rights movement, they saw social injustice and its stigmatizing ability within the Black community, and they did something about it. In this story, Jesus saw a social condition impacting this leper, and he did something about it. He didn't become overwhelmed by it. He didn't worry about the social stigma of what would happen to me. He ended it. He took this leper to zero. Zero in isolation. Zero in leprosy. Zero in stigma. He simply said, "I will it to be so." And he touched the problem in front of him and made it better. And we can do the same. We each have to figure out our role that God is asking us to play in healing our world. We can get to zero. We can get to zero in exclusion. We can get to zero in inequity. We can get to zero in fear. We can get to zero in division. Shakespeare once said, "All the world is a stage. All the men and women, merely players. They have their exits and they have their entrances. And one man or woman, in his or her time, plays many parts." So perhaps today the question in this gospel is simply, what part is Jesus calling me to play to end the power of social stigma in the world as we work together to get to zero?